afternoon, good evening, good morning, good noon, good day, good dawn, good desk, good holiday season, good Christmas, good Kwanzaa, good Hanukkah, good reindeer, good sled, good Rudolph, good red nose, good stockings all hung by the chimney with care. It's that time of year, and as you know, every year during December, Amber and I take the month off. By the way, I am your host. My name is Sean Conroy. Amber Kenny is not here because she and her husband have already headed for their villa in Villefranche-sur-Mer in the south of France. That's where they always do the holiday season. I am going to I'm going to a motel in Chatsworth. I got the room. Well, I got the presidential suite, and they call it that because it is next to the snack machine, which makes it convenient when it's late and you are hungry. We have decided to take, because she's so far away in France and I'm so far away in Chatsworth, we've decided to take the month off. We are not going to be recording during the month of December, but in honor of the idea that consistency is important, I am going to try to release some episodes that are already in the can, and I thought it might be fun to listen to Christmas episodes if we, I mean, we've been recording for 76 years, so I think we may have three or four Christmas episodes in the old can of episodes, the episode can. So that said, that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to let you listen to a Christmas episode. This Christmas episode was released in 2016, December 21st, 2016, it came out. So it is a reissue. But the episode that came out in December of 2016 was a reissue of an episode from December of 2010. So in case you're not following along, this is a reissue of a reissue. It is a reissue squared. And the episode that was the original episode is our first ever live show, legendary show at the Fake Gallery, featuring our guest Paul F. Tompkins. It is a long time ago. Life is a long, strange journey. This was when we were just starting out. We were little children on the podcast road. So you can hear, this is the intro to the intro to the intro of the original episode. I hope everybody is having a good holiday season. I know that there is a war on Christmas, but I hope you're fighting through it. And please enjoy this episode of an episode of an episode. Now I gotta stop this thing. Hi, folks. Welcome to a long shot Christmas past. We never do this. We never reissue old episodes, but we have gotten lazy in our old age. So we are going to play for you guys the Christmas episode from season 2, which was the first Christmas episode we ever did. I don't know what that was.
No, but...
Hey, there's someone at the door. I'll open the door.
Hey, Sean.
Jamie, what are you doing here?
I was lonely and wanted some company and thought I would come over. It's the holiday and I was all alone.
Okay. I was just going to play an old episode of The Long Shot.
Oh, really?
For the folks.
Which yeah. one? There's so many classics.
It's season 2, episode
14.
Oh, the great Christmas episode with Paul F. Tompkins that we did live.
It was about gifts.
Yep.
Amber gave everybody gifts.
Huh? At the fake gallery.
Yeah, at the fake gallery.
Oh, Amber, you're here.
I've been here the whole time.
Oh, cool.
Is it weird that Amber's just here?
Yeah.
It's not.
And didn't knock on the door?
Well, I was talking earlier. It felt weird to enter. Yeah, yeah.
So you two were both about just diving into that
episode. We're going to dive on. We're going to put. Oh, who's at the door? Come in. Or.
Hey, it was just me. I jumped out the window and I came back in.
We're going to put on this classic Christmas episode of the Long Shot Podcast on our record player.
I wish I could remember anything about this episode.
I kind of do.
My mom
got us presents. Mm-hmm. What did you get? You got me a lamp? Maybe?
Yes, because we wouldn't record in your living room. It would always be so dark.
Yeah. What did you get me?
I got you.
Was it the Chicken Soup for the Soul, or was that a different one?
Oh, it might have been. Yes, that sounds right.
A Chicken Soup for the Soul calendar, or just a book?
And I got, I don't remember I got Eddie, but I got Paul F. Tompkins a book of how to do magic.
I remember that.
The only other episode he was on the magic episode. Yeah. I feel like I was killing it with those gifts.
You were. I got gifts for everyone too.
That was 6 motherfucking years ago.
Yeah, that's so insane.
There was an after party too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I was wearing heels.
At somebody's house.
It was like hard to walk there.
They moved to Jeffrey and
Jeff Johnson, to
San Francisco.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa, this is crazy. This is going to be so fun for you guys to listen to.
But my mom rapped on it too.
She did.
She came on stage and she did part of her rap, which she's still working on.
Wow.
6 years later.
Well, you don't want to finish it up too quickly, you know?
Rome isn't built in a day.
That's what they've said.
Folks.
Merry Christmas. Enjoy us as small children.
Yeah.
6 years ago, how old were you?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I was 23.
I was 28.
I was 37. I wasn't. All of our ages just now were fake.
No, I was 28.
Oh, you were 28.
And I was 23.
I was 34.
Folks,
whoa! Enjoy. I'm the email that you were then.
Oh, that is weird. How does it feel?
It's terrible.
You got a roller coaster ahead of you. <I'm
not. laughs> All right.
Universal Studios.
Enjoy the episode.
Broadcasting live once again from an undisclosed location high in the Hollywood Hills, it's time for The Long Shot. Tonight, the perils of an oil-based economy, Sudoku crosswords, another episode of Suitcase, Briefcase, or Valise, Christmas Trolls, Mr. Paul F. Tompkins, and a rap from Miss Becky Flam. And now, please welcome the host of The Long Shot, Sean Conroy. Thank you so much. That guy is great. All right. It is time for The Long Shot. With me tonight, first of all, a woman who would rather light a candle even in the daytime because things might get brighter. Please welcome Miss Amber Kenny.
Hello.
Also with me tonight, as usual, occasionally, the Human Scientific Classification System, Mr. Jamie Phylum.
This guy.
Also with me tonight, the Sultanic Caesar of Sartorial Splendor, the Bitter Buddha himself. Please welcome Mr. Eddie Pepitone.
It's a great night for a podcast.
All right, so here we are.
Here we are.
Wrapping up season 2.
Wow.
That went by fast.
It flew by.
Only 3 months.
How is it up there in the cheap seats? And by cheap seats, for those of you listening, I mean in the middle of the country. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, that didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, I'm just trying to blend the live element with the fact that people are going to be listening to this in their homes or cars and all over the land.
How did that blend that?
I don't know.
By asking about the cheap seats.
Well, when I said by cheap seats, I mean
the people in the middle of the country.
Right. That was brilliant, I thought.
Let's not alienate some of our fans.
Oh, yeah. No. I enjoy the middle of the country.
We also have people in other countries listening.
And other countries. Yeah. I really enjoy other countries. No, I really do, because I'm sick of this country.
What is your favorite other country?
I guess it would be Guyana.
I buy that, but I want to know why.
I just enjoy their tremendous tradition in volleyball there. And I enjoy the way they don't give a fuck about anything in Guyana. Really, we could take a lesson from the Guyanese. I think it's Guyanese. You know, don't give a flying fuck about things in other countries because time is different. Here it's like money, 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 money. We got to make money. You got to be here. You got to be here. And in like places like Guyana, it's like, hey, man.
That's been your experience when you've been there?
Yes.
Does your immediate reference to Guyana have anything to do with the Jonestown Massacre?
Yes. That was a blemish on the Guyanan psyche.
But they didn't give a fuck about that, right?
They didn't give a fuck
about anything.
Ah, they're crazy, man.
They're a reggae culture.
Is that the Jamaican part of Guyana?
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about. There's a Jamaican neighborhood in Guyana.
So
called No Woman, Little No Jamaica. Cry. Hey, you going to No Woman, No Cry? Yes.
I cry every time I hear that song, no joke.
So you have the opposite reaction of what the song is saying to do.
I don't follow directions.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a great fucking point.
Thank you. All right. So, Eddie, you had an exciting day today.
I did. I just came from the Lopez Tonight Show.
George Lopez.
Yes. But have you guys seen Lopez? Like, at the end of every joke, he punches it up with... And what I was doing for the people listening all over the world...
In the cheap seats
was I was making a big cartoony face. But anyway, I just came... from doing the Lopez Tonight Show and live TV, they get really uptight. Like I played Santa Claus, Angry Santa. I always play angry characters.
That's your niche.
That is my fucking niche.
Did anyone see it?
It hasn't aired yet.
You said it was live.
Tonight. It's going to be, I mean, we
Tonight
filmed
it's
gonna
live.
It's
going to be live, taped earlier today. It is a confusing concept.
I guess so.
You know?
But it airs 10 o'clock, I think? I don't know. But anyway.
10 o'clock, yes.
Anyway, so the Dr. Drew was a guest. Drew Pinsky. And it was an intervention on Santa for food addiction. So it was pretty funny. And
getting a little close to home.
Very fucking close to home. Because I lost, you know, and people who know the podcast know this,
sugar
I lost 50 fucking pounds cutting out sugar and flour. I was like a stoic Buddhist fuck. I didn't eat sugar and flour for like a year and a half, and now I'll eat anything. Yeah, deserves.
Talk.
I like talking about these things
talk
now.
Talk more about what happened on the show.
Oh, okay. So...
You got lost in your stoic Buddhism.
So anyway, it was kind of funny because I got to like really scream like Mrs. Claus, like Drew Pinsky is running this intervention going,
the way
okay,
he does.
Yeah, okay, and let's see the people who you've hurt, you know, and Mrs. Claus comes up and goes, since we got married, you gained 400 pounds. And I would like to untie your package once in a while, but I can't get to it. And so I got to really rip into her. I said, you're one to talk. Your ass is like a lumpy sack of toys. Now, I know it's
so
not
they really
the
made
sharp...
a lot of innuendo based on Christmas gift jokes. Like, I want to unwrap
the package.
You
could see the writer's room going, what do we got? We got Christmas. What about untie the pack? That's how the writers
we shouldn't
are.
Be smoking inside anymore. It's illegal.
I'm just like that when I'm writing. Okay, no, they, writers, they squeeze balls now.
Do you remember that we used to do that, by the way? Sometimes when Eddie and I would be writing stuff together, we would buy cigars just so we'd feel like real writers. And we would pace around my apartment just puffing on cigars, not doing any writing.
Not doing anything. Let's not write.
I'm sorry. So finish your story.
So anyway, what I love about these shows is just, first of all, the Lopez crowd is way too pumped up. Oh my God. It's one of those fucking late night shows, but the crowd.
Like this.
Not like this. This is an honest audience. No, because their audience is,
I like,
you know,
even in that moment, only like two people went, yeah.
No, but you know, these fucking, yeah, yeah. The warm-up guys, by the way, have the worst jobs
oh
ever.
Oh, my God.
They're just like, okay, and when George comes out, just fucking act like you've been fucked in every orifice. Like, it's so intense.
So in your mind, that's a positive experience.
I had a repressed upbringing. That was a lottery ticket.
How was Dr. Drew? I was a big fan of...
He was very cool. He was. That's another element I like, is just meeting the celebs. Oh, and I also met the woman who's in Black Swan. She was in that
Natalie Barbara Portman. Hershey.
No, neither one. Miles, is it Milas?
Miley Cyrus.
What? They were making fun of Cyrus for apparently getting busted this week.
I like how you just call her Cyrus.
That's all I refer to that fucking family as, Cyrus.
Meanwhile, she's on the other side of LA going, Pepitone's making fun of me again. God damn that Pepitone.
So anyway, I had fun and I met the chick in the Black Swan. How do you say her name?
Mila Kunis.
Mila right? Kunis, yeah. And
she was on that 70s show, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
never
I remember
saw it.
Yeah, she all grew
Black
up.
Black Swan was a good movie. Has anyone seen that? Has anyone seen it? It was good.
I am doing a parody video of it this week. I'm going to play the mother in it, and that's going to be funny, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
And what's your character's name in the video you're going to do?
I don't know.
Barbara Hershey.
Barbara Hershey. Oh. I'm Barbara Hershey. No, I'm the mother. I don't know what her name is.
All right. Well, congratulations on working on George Lopez.
Yeah, that was fun.
Obviously, those things come in handy, especially around the holidays, right?
Oh, my God. I just called that $808 what I did today.
That's what it is.
That's right. No, I used to think, oh, my God, I'm going to be on the Lopez show. Oh, my God.
Did you ever really think that? Like, I could understand years ago being like, oh, my God, I'm going to be on the Conan show.
Well, that's what I meant. I've never thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be on the Lopez show.
I'm finally making it with George Lopez, the cartoonist Mexican.
By the way, I found out that I'm a bit of a diva now, mm-hmm. like, because they didn't have a trailer for
that's
me.
That's just happened.
No, it's really funny. Like, I go on the Lopez show, and I'm, like, pissed at the wardrobe lady because she was like, oh, what are your sizes? And I said, I emailed them.
Yeah, but doesn't that happen? I feel like that happens every time.
It pisses me off.
That happens every time. The wardrobe calls you and asks for your sizes.
Yeah.
You tell them over the phone.
Yeah.
Then they email you and you email them to them. And then you
and
get
then
there.
And then you get
and
there.
Like,
what are your sizes? I feel.
You knew where I was going with that one.
I am a trained comediette.
Not sure what that is.
Me neither.
So, Amber.
Yes.
Tell us about your holiday party last night.
Yeah, I just had my work holiday party last night.
At the bank.
Why don't you tell everyone?
I don't know what happened. I just know where it was.
By the way, when you say that, I just see immediately like a movie, like Inside Job. Like there's four employees who got masks in the back ready to fucking rob it. Nobody
That's a good
else.
Idea. When you say that to me, I just see two people fucking in the photocopy room. You know, like that's what happens at holiday parties. They're both married, and that's the only time they ever do it, is after they have a bunch of eggnog.
Just parties and banks, to me, lend themselves to heist movies. That's all I'm saying. Like, if there's a if I'm invited to a party in a bank, I'm like, all right, where's this?
How many times have you been invited
Never.
To a party in a bank?
Never.
You know what I see? A goat and a broom.
Hey,
I had
Jamie.
To say something. I had to get in on this. I needed something. I took a chance. It proved to be perfect.
This is the Immaculata paying off. It's this kind, you clearing your mind, and these things are coming out.
Am I hearing that correctly? You said a goat and a broom?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, it's a Bosch painting he's seen or something.
Amber, so tell us what happened.
Well, I was actually dreading this party for about a month.
Dreading?
Yeah, I sort of regressed a month, yes, like to an adolescent state of like, I don't want to go to that party. I want to hang out with my real friends, not with work people. This is going to be stupid.
And that thing you're doing is how I get up every morning. I don't want to fucking get up. Fuck them.
I emailed my size.
I emailed my size.
And so I was really, really dreading it. And in my head, I built it up to be this like terrible thing. And it ended up being kind of cool. Like it wasn't the best party I ever went to, but it was mellow and there was food and it didn't last too long. And
I didn't think it would last too long. Like, don't go. We got some great shit going on in the vault in about an hour.
Stick around till the heist starts.
Well, my boss could be a little long-winded. Mm-hmm. And so there's times that he's like, yeah, that'll end at 7:30, and it's 11 p.m. And really? It's just like, ooh.
That is long-winded.
Yeah, yes. But it wrapped up nicely. It was fine. People were happy. It was mellow. That was the big thing. I was just worried that it was going to be this, like, 3 hours of me stressed out and running around. But it wasn't too bad. And I felt kind of like a jerk for dreading it so badly.
Mm-hmm. So the moral of the story is, don't stress out about work parties before they happen.
I guess so.
Mark Twain said, so many terrible things. Oh, how does this go?
I think that was it. That was what he said.
Period.
He said so many terrible things. He didn't
write a lot of them down. No, I had
mostly what he wrote was funny, but he did say a lot of terrible things.
He said, I've been through so much in my life, but most of them never happened, meaning it was mostly in his head and it was phrased way better. He was a bit of a wordsmith.
He also had a short story about a goat and a broom.
Oh, man.
You shouldn't go back to that well.
That's my go-to.
You should not go back to that well.
I hope everything that Jamie says is
goat and broom related?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that does not happen. Jamie, tell us about your week last week.
Wow, what a week. so much to talk about. Well, if you listen to the first season of the podcast, you know I was going through my rock bottom phase. Season two has been the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Really?
I'm broke, yes, but so happy in this world.
Uh-huh.
But last week I was invited by a friend to help him on a production. He was directing a music video. And I jumped at the opportunity.
This is a paid gig?
It was a paid gig. I needed the money. But essentially, I was a PA.
Production assistant. For those of you not in show business. Yeah.
I was telling people I was a glorified PA, but really, I was just a PA.
What's the distinction between glorified PA?
I thought it made me look cooler when I told people that. I'm like a glorified PA.
Uh-huh.
Meaning I was cooler, but...
Right.
But I was probably one of the older people on the set. I'm 34, and there was a couple things that they asked me to do, which were really like right back in that rock bottom.
rock bottom is never too far away, by the way.
I'm learning.
At all
I'm
fucking
learning.
Times. That's what I'm finding out.
But the first, the music video was, there was a 21 and 22-year-old guy and girl, and they would lots of choreography and dancing. And at one point...
You did a lot of comparing ages while you were there, I get the sense, right?
Everyone.
You were 34,
did
this
you
friend's
ID
21.
Everyone?
I did. I was like 21, 22, 26.
That guy wants coffee, he's 27.
I think we all should have our ages pinned like our names.
Me too. Me too.
The way you said that makes it sound like we have our names pinned. Which a lot of the listeners at home are not aware of. We do have our names pinned to our chests here on the podcast,
oh,
so
I
the
see,
live
yeah.
audience doesn't get confused as to who's
who. I mean,
who.
The way they do, like, hi, my name is Eddie at a convention or whatever, they should say, hi, I am 52.
All right, so Jamie, tell us more about
okay.
that.
Okay, good. So the first thing was the guy that was in the video was dancing, and he got pretty sweaty. And despite the fact
that... Dancing will make you sweat.
His dressing room was about 4 feet from where this was going on, so he could probably easily go into that room and there's a fan set up and kind of cool down. But For a brief moment, my job was to take the table fan and fan him off, like on the set. And I tried to play it like I was cool.
So you were basically like a harem slave at that point.
More or less. And I tried to play it cool, like I was like trying to make a joke out of it, like I was taking it very seriously. But inside...
Wait, how...
Yeah, what was the joke? I would have been pissed, by the way.
Yes.
I'd have been like, fuck are you doing, my friend?
So the joke was that you didn't say anything, you just made it look like you were really doing it seriously?
Like, I took it very seriously.
I would not have gotten that if I was
like,
him.
Like it was brain surgery, like that kind of serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I took my job seriously. Like I wasn't a 34-year-old man fanning off 22-year-old Omar.
I got 12 years on this guy. Yeah. I should be farther along or he should not be as far as he is.
He should be fanning me.
Yeah.
So,
maybe
yeah.
After I finish fanning you, you could get me a coffee just to make me feel better.
I got a coffee for the girl on the first day. It actually was a hot chocolate with caramel and salt, which is available at your local Starbucks. Didn't know that.
Did not know that.
Just learned that.
The salt brings out the caramel.
Yes.
I could see you as being like one of the most just sardonic baristas ever. The salt brings out the caramel, folks. Like, I could just see how you saying that to a customer. What does the salt do? Brings out the caramel.
That doesn't seem sardonic. That just seems informational.
But you're
slightly sullen.
I could see your manager pulling you aside going, have a little pep into... You know, we're part of the Starbucks team. You know, we want
people... And I would just go, that's not my thing. I don't do pep.
Right.
So what else, Jamie?
So the other thing was on the last day... I was sitting there, sat around a lot, and I saw a big box of industrial rags called Extreme Rags, and I had a lot of time
That's
on my hands.
That's a fucking rag.
It's a crazy
Well, you
rag.
Had a lot of time on your hand. You're like just looking around. What the fuck is that? Is that a two-headed bug? Like, that's what you do on sets. You're just like, boy, did my life go to shit. What the fuck? Is that guy 23 or 29?
Yes. That was it.
So what happened with the rags?
So I thought it'd be funny to take a picture and post it on Facebook, and my joke was, no more excuses, ladies, with the picture of the extreme rags, which I thought was funny.
What? What was that? Were you making a reference to menstruation?
Yes.
Ay, ay, ay. No more excuses, ladies.
Are a lot of women making excuses for menstruation?
Yeah, right.
They're complaining. Yeah, I think so.
I'm sorry, my rag's not extreme enough. If it was more extreme, I won't even finish that sentence.
It just doesn't sound like from the mouth of someone running the Immaculata.
Certainly, that's not an Immaculatized joke.
I don't think he's in the heart of the Immaculata.
I'm not
right
in the
now.
Heart of the Immaculata.
Did you get any response to your joke on Facebook?
I think one.
One.
Like, I was like checking every 2 minutes too. But here's.
Like, welcome
come on,
to my
this
world.
Is gonna be a hit.
You were so happy about your no more excuses, ladies joke. Let's get
I
on
thought
there and see
kill.
What people said.
But here's the kicker.
The rub.
Less than an hour later, the producer comes up to me and sent me to the store to buy tampons for the main girl in the video.
And like, you were like, we don't need them. We got extreme rags.
I should have made that reference.
No more excuses, producer.
So you were fanning off a 22-year-old and you were buying tampons for the other lead.
21-year-old.
For the 23-year-old.
Mm-hmm. And caramel and salt for the 21-year-old. So that's 68 years of experience. All right. Well, I think it's time to move into the next segment of the show. And this is very exciting because we have a very special guest here tonight who's going to do something for us that we've heard before. We have not heard it live.
We've heard it live.
Well, sort of.
We were there.
Yeah.
I've been wondering the same thing.
She is a relative.
You just have to be funnier.
She's a relative of the podcast. Please welcome to the stage. This is very exciting. Jamie's mother is here, Miss Vicky Flynn.
Yeah!
Come on up.
Yeah!
Thank you for being here, Mrs. Flam.
Thank you for allowing me to be here, but I have to tell you that I was really excited until I just heard my son's plight.
We are so glad you're here.
I'm so depressed.
We got you here. We got you here under the ruse of doing a rap, but we really wanted to talk about Jamie.
No, that's actually not true.
You are.
Once before on the show, we played a rap that you recorded, correct?
Correct.
And we thought that was great. Is it working? Is it on?
Is it?
Yeah.
If you're holding it on your nose, though.
Put it a little lower. Yeah.
Out the chin.
That's good.
Chin.
Yeah. And
I've never
you could
done
talk
a chin
into
job.
The top of it rather than the side. I don't know.
I was trained classically in Paris.
In Paris.
Blue. Cross yeah. the blue.
Now, what? Here's my question for you. What made you get into? Well, first of all, how long have you been rapping?
Very short life.
Very short. Okay, just like a couple months, maybe.
Yeah.
And what made you decide to take up this art form?
Oh my God, I was watching 60 Minutes and they were interviewing
Eminem.
Yes.
You looked at her like she was your caretaker.
Amber's her lifeline.
At her home.
And I
was it?
Shut the fuck up, Pepitone.
It just got very, very real in here.
Okay. And I love writing poetry. I've always loved writing poetry. And when he was talking about how rap is just bending words, I like you can't rhyme with orange, but in rap you can because you can just say orange. I just started hopping around the house. I got so excited because it opened up this whole new creative world.
Well, it's a natural extension from being a poet to a hip-hop singer, huh?
Eminem's orange is one of my favorite songs. I love that.
Yes. Yeah. And so I said to Jamie, I said, I can just be Eminemapause.
But
she
you decided
that.
Against
I mean,
that.
How many 60-year-old rap people are there?
Four. No, I don't think there are any, but except
see,
for you.
See,
there's
I'm,
one.
I'm an ideator.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
I love the word. Somebody used it a few months ago. I come up with all these great ideas, but they just stay in the idea form.
I got that
That's
from you.
That's an ideator?
You did. It's genetic. It's very, very genetic.
I'm actually starting a thing next month called the Ideatorata. Just coming up with ideas and not doing anything about them for 30 days
I'm in.
So I figured since you were gracious enough to invite me for tonight, although Jamie told me it was toys, and I spent all this time...
Yeah, you should talk into the mic.
Doing a rap on
toys. Toys is fine.
Toys is fine.
It's too late because he made me change it.
Oh, okay.
He made you change it?
I had GoBots and his nemesis Skeleton and Skeletor Shortcake.
All right, but you're gonna rap for us right now, is that right?
Yeah, but I'm not really good at beats. In fact,
here we go.
I want you to act like you are pepped up first, and I don't want. And I don't want you to be honest like Pepitone said you are, okay? Okay, no matter what happens, okay? And here's the deal. There's a chorus that's fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. So we'll join in on that.
We'll join in on
And there was only one thing I noticed before I came up. It's actually described right there on the whiteboard, which you're going to hear. On the top one, it says white noise.
Is that the name of your
No,
group?
It's what it sounds like.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, let's... how about a big hand for Jamie's mom? Yeah! Yeah!
You ready?
Scratchy, scratchy, scratchy.
One, two, three, four.
It's the time of year if you want to live. Gotta be sure to shop and give. Paul F. Tompkins, podcast guest, donating his time to this cuckoo's nest. Fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la. Mr. Conroy, long shot's joy. A Christmas gift, cause you're a goy. Our First Lady, Amber Kenny. Infectious laughed, a gift of plenty. Fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la. Peppertone, the bitter Buddha. For you, a plate of sugarless Fuda. Last, there's Jamie. He can't have any. Pockets empty, not a penny. Ha, 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 ha. Poor Jamie Flam. Ha, 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 ha. Poor Jamie Flam. Buying gifts is sometimes tough. You think they're never good enough. Designer jeans, designer bags. Our friggin' budgets buy us rags. Stressful arm feel shopping. Cartfuls, wrong size, wrong color. Take it back and get another. Fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la. No exchanges, no returns. Bought at garage sales makes me burn. Crate and Barrel, Bed Bath and Beyond. Can't forget our 20 off coupon. Get back in line as you desired. 60 coupons won't expire. Recycled gifts and Chia Pets. Picture frames and high tech games. Sexy gifts, good vibrations. Hot and sexy expectations. Ooh la 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 la. La, 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 la. Then there's Santa. Truth is sad. You wake up just to catch your dad. Knows if you've been bad or good. Either way, he'll screw your childhood. The moral of this rap, for heaven's sake, forget all else, just buy a fruitcake. Fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la.
Thanks, Mom.
There was something for everyone.
Kicking the dope rhymes with the dope beats.
You're more facile with the
I'm
hip-hop.
Very facile, and I enjoy the pasta facile.
I was in Sean's car on Monday, and he was listening to hip-hop the whole ride. I was very surprised.
I do. I love hip-hop. I've loved it ever since I was a little kid.
I know. I never got into it.
I saw the Beasties and Run DMC at Madison Square Garden in 86. Were you at that show?
I was not at that show, but I remember when the Beastie Boys, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, Run DMC. When they did something with Aerosmith, Walk This Way,
mm-hmm.
and I was very into that, where I was smoking a lot of pot, and I was like, yeah, man.
Yes, yeah. I should walk that way.
I should walk that way. Fuck yeah. No, I was a Pink Floyd guy, and I was always like, I had the headphones on, and I was like, where the fuck, what the hell? That's fucking great sound effect. Like, I would be so, you know, when the headphone thing would go from
like, a cash register.
Yeah. Money.
They incorporated it into the music. All right, folks, we have another very special guest here tonight. He was our first guest this season on the podcast. He is also our last guest.
Bookending the season,
if you're into bookends. He has just released a new DVD called You Should Have Told Me. He also has his own podcast, which is called the Pod F Tomcast. Some Woo! Fans of that here. Yeah! Please give it up for Mr. Paul F. Tompkins!
Paul F. Tompkins!
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I'm sorry I knocked over your smart water.
Paul, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
I'm not having you. This is a group decision.
Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sister Wives.
Sister,
for having me. You're part of the show. Now, I'm sorry.
We wanted to talk tonight about gifts, but you said you wanted to get into something before we even started.
That's right, Sean.
Uh-oh.
Now, I was told a while ago, when I was asked to participate in this season finale live podcasting thing. Well, I was invited
no
to be on
this. There's no compensation, Paul.
No. Okay. Believe me.
I think I figured out where you're going, by the way.
Yeah, I think you have, Jamie.
I have not. I do not
I
know.
I haven't even.
I was invited to perform on this season finale podcast, and I asked the person who was inviting me, will I be the first return guest? to the long shot?
No.
And I was told, yes, as a matter of fact, yes, you would be the first return guest.
And that turned out not to be the
case. On my way here tonight, I listened to one of my favorite podcasts, The Long Shot.
I love
it. I know not to call it The Long Shot Podcast. Just
you
call
are
it
a
The
fan.
Long Shot.
Yes.
I still haven't figured that out.
And I hear the voice of Jen.
Your very good friend, Jen.
My very good friend, Jen Kirkman.
Yes.
She is the first return guest.
She was.
The Long Shot.
You're the first return guest in
the
one
same
season.
Amber comes through again. Yes.
That's not what I was told. That's not what I was told.
I take full responsibility for this.
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
I was told I'd be the first return guest. Then I come down here.
Is that the only reason you agreed to it?
That is the only reason. Oh, also, when I heard it was going to be the fake gallery, I heard a rumor there was buried treasure here. So I was going to wait till everybody left. And I was going to start digging
That's
up the floorboards.
That's why you brought your metal detector back.
Of course. My metal detector, my pickaxe, my miner's helmet. Anyway, so I get here and I think, well, it's still an honor to be on the season finale. This will be fine. And then I'm told, oh, yeah, so you still have to... You still have to stand back there while we do the part where we pretend we're seeing each other for the first time and we talk about nothing.
That in fairness, that's not what was said.
The last... that's what happened, though. Then, in this same episode with Jen Kirkman, she's introduced immediately, and a big deal is made of it that we never do this, but we're doing it with Jen Kirkman. But then I come down here for this big finale night where most people dress up, and then I still...
Get a shot of that, please.
I still have to wait around, except this time there's no furniture. Like, usually you would do the show
the green room,
at Sean's place, and there's, like, nice furniture. It's like a home. And then now I'm standing back in this haunted alleyway.
I have a very sick feeling in my stomach right now of shame and guilt.
Well, then, fine. Let's move on. That is what I wanted
that
to accomplish.
Checkmate.
That was it.
Well, we're glad you overcame the adversity of us treating you so poorly.
It's the perfect way to put it.
Yes.
No, I'm a huge fan of The Long Shot.
Thank you.
I listen every week.
Thank you.
I love that you are
amazing.
A huge fan.
Why
are you?
And that, by the way, that seems, I know it's not, but that seems like such a show busy thing to say.
It does,
like when
right?
People are like, yeah, I'm a huge fan. I loved your book and your movie. You know,
I love that it's permeated podcasting now. Where there's like phoniness in podcasting.
But yes, exactly. When you meet a quote unquote famous person, isn't it rude to not say I'm a huge fan? Like, I've come to that. Like, if I see somebody who's
no,
famous...
No, that's demented. What? Is it rude?
Is that right? No, but I feel like if I see them, I should say, oh, I'm a big fan.
No, you don't have to do that.
You don't?
No.
You could just go, hey, how are you?
Especially because anytime you talk about somebody famous when they're not around, you shit on them.
I know. I was just going to say, all you do, you just worked... What did you do, Lopez? Today? And you're already trashing it? And yet if you meet, like,
I'm a
I don't
big
know,
fan,
Mary Fran.
Character.
If you meet Mary Fran from Newhart, you're supposed to go, I'm a big fan.
I don't know who that is.
That's
but
right, but you would still say it, wouldn't you?
I probably would.
Did you tell Dr. Drew you're a big fan?
No, I didn't.
You know, Dr. Drew says the only reason anybody gets into show business is because they're sick and diseased.
Well,
he might have a point.
He's in it, though.
Of course.
Yeah, but he came in through the back door.
He did come in through the back door.
Like he was kind of dragged in, right?
We would not know that guy.
He's actively in it now, I feel.
He loves it.
Yeah.
He does.
He loves it.
He was glowing.
That could just be because he did the Immaculata.
That's true.
It could be.
He's on the plan.
Look at him. He's still glowing.
He might be radioactive. All right, so we wanted to talk about gifts tonight. Eddie, what do you think about the whole subject of gifts?
What do I think about the subject
of gifts?
What do
you think about the subject of gifts?
Go.
I get crazy to get gifts. I get crazy...
I don't understand what you just said.
Okay.
Is the prospect of receiving gifts makes you nuts?
No, I love that. I hate buying them.
Oh, sure.
And invariably, this sounds horrible, and I'm sure people, a lot of people do this, but when I go into a store...
So many blacks.
What's that?
What? I was trying to...
That one!
I was
that
trying...
That came out.
I was trying to guess at what would be horrible.
That was like a punch in the nose.
I apologize. I jumped the gun.
No, but...
Maybe that's not what you were going to say.
It certainly was not. But when I go into a store, I usually go to the stores that I like, and I want to buy things for myself. I wind up getting things sure. for myself.
Sure.
Like, I'm like, oh, let me get Karen something. And then I'll be like, oh, but look, I bet Karen would like this. It's a football signed by all the Giants.
She would just like to see it there in the home.
But anyway, what happens with Christmas, with you know, is that I just always wait to the last minute, mm-hmm. and I just get four or five things for one person every year, and I still find it to be very like, oh Christ, I gotta get up, and I gotta go to. I hate the crowds. The crowds are.
So that's why you wait till the last minute.
That may be the wrong thing to do, but I cannot see.
Jury's still out.
What's that?
Jury's still out on that.
I live day to day so much that I feel like, why would I shop?
So much.
No, I'm a
Nobody lives as much day to day in one day as you do. You get a lot of day to day living done in a day.
The reason.
Twice a year, he lives month to month.
That's right. That's right. With the option to die.
But so much of the time, day to day.
Yeah.
But I don't see the logic in shopping in early December for something that's 25 days away. Like, to me, that's bizarre. Like, what?
Who knows what could happen between now and then?
And really, really can't stand the whole concept of Black Friday. That nonsense. Like, people are camping out at 3 in the morning to yeah. buy shit. Please.
Talk to the hand, right? Now, how many gifts do you have to buy? How many people do you have to buy gifts for?
I've got it down to just one a year. And I am not kidding.
One person or one gift?
Just, one person.
Just Karen?
My girlfriend, Karen. I get my girlfriend.
That was a squeaker. And if he doesn't, I didn't know who that was going to end up being.
If that Lopez check doesn't come in before Christmas, he might have to dump her then.
Baby, I made you a clay ashtray. I know you
it
don't
It hasn't
smoke.
Dried yet because I waited till the last minute.
Don't touch the glaze.
Here's why I ask is because I have come to the realization that as you're an adult and if you don't have children yourself,
yes.
You really only have to buy a gift. You really should only have to buy a gift for your significant other.
That's what
you
I do.
You can buy a gift for a friend if you feel like it, but like the pressure of doing that, I just feel like we're all grown-ups. What are we doing here? It's like, I feel like my new policy is friends and family, you're on your own. We're not
that.
Little kids anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous.
But yeah. Then what do you do when it comes time to open presents at Christmas time?
Well, Sean, I'm glad you asked. Because I celebrate Christmas with my wife's family.
Mm-hmm.
We go to South Carolina, where her people are from.
Mm-hmm.
And... We do a Secret Santa thing. So my wife and I will get each other one gift, and then there's another gift that everyone
else.
Gets for somebody else.
And is that it? Two gifts for the whole holiday?
That's it. Except
that's
her
civilized.
Mother cannot help but buy gifts for everybody.
But it's right. okay for
but that's
parents
her
to do that.
It's okay for parents to do that. Yeah. They're old, and they can never spend all their
money.
And
that's money. No pressure on you.
No pressure on me.
Right.
But my dad, the Sicilian, my dad is Sicilian.
And oh, Marone, here we go.
But when we would have Christmas at his place and my cousins, and he'd be like, didn't you get something for Grandpa? Like that guilt shit would come in, and
yeah.
I'd be like, I didn't get, all right, get him something from the, get him something, will you? And it would just be this guilt thing where I had to run out last minute.
And also, what the fuck do you get somebody like
yes.
that?
Yes.
You know?
My grandfather?
Yeah.
Scotch. He liked scotch.
Yeah.
I just turned around on this. I forgot that you could buy things like that. And now I want things. Because my first thought, well, what do you get an old person?
You don't want fucking clothes.
Like that. I thought, oh, lozenges. That's what you get. Like an old man from the older country.
No, I mean, that was always a tricky thing. When I was growing up, we had... lots and lots of old people at our house every year. I'm not kidding.
Sean
My
did.
Mother collected people through the years. If somebody in the neighborhood or at the church had nobody left to spend Christmas with, guess who took them in for Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving?
Thumbs down.
Yeah. No, it was well-intentioned, but it meant that I had to buy, you know, seven gifts for people strangers? In their 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Do you even know them? What would you get them?
I don't even, like, here's a scarf, you know, like.
And you would affect an old voice when you gave it to them?
I was trying to be more hesitant than old, but.
Everyone trying to speak their language.
Every once in a while, I'd go, here's a scarf for you.
So they'd understand.
Yeah. But I mean, we literally had a woman who came to our house every year, three times a year, for 30 years. She had been...
Oh, my gosh. Sounds like a Dickens novel.
Hold on. It gets worse. She had been a nun for 50 years and left the convent to take care of her sick and dying parents. And when her parents died, she had nowhere else to go. She came to our house every year for 30 years. She would get me things for Christmas. Like, one year she got me a used women's watch in a pink envelope.
Oh, I remember that. She got you a used...
One year she got me a transistor radio with no cover for the battery compartment. Like, she would just find things around her house and give them. One year
or
she
on
gave
the street.
Me...
It's Here
was,
the thought.
Well, it was funny because she always wanted to chat. You know, she always wanted to chat, and all she ever wanted to talk about was, and she really did talk like an old person. She was like, I like to cook for myself. Do you like to cook for yourself?
No, I like sports and strippers.
I like, and she'd be like, I like pork chops. And every year, same conversation. And then one year for Christmas, she gave me a book called The Lifetime Conversation Guide.
And it just said pork chops on every page.
You can't go wrong with pork chops.
I was just like, does she think it was me? That
yeah,
was fucking
she was
up the
bored with your.
The whole time?
She was bored with your responses.
I've given him all the cues. I don't know what's with this guy. He won't elaborate further on the pork chops.
Oh my God,
recipe.
Sean! She wanted you to say. Where's the cover for the battery compartment in this transistor radio? Like everything, she wanted you to say, why did you give me a lady's watch? She was drawing you out in the most subtle ways. Don't you want to know something? Don't you want to know something?
But now...
That is a good conversation starter, though.
We do.
I got to hand it to you.
That's how I do it at bars.
Don't you want to know something?
Bars.
Old people bars.
Don't you want to know something?
Yeah, you're over there at the drawing room. Drawing room is a bar here in Los Angeles in Los
where
Feliz.
Where is that? Oh, that's
on
over
Hillhurst.
Yeah.
It's like there's two bars that are catty corner from each other, the Rustic Inn and the Drawing right. Room. And if you find the Rustic Inn to be too high class,
whoa,
then go to the Drawing Room. Drawing Room has a lighted sign that says bar opens at 6 a.m. And every time I look at it, it profoundly depresses me.
Ooh.
That there's somebody waiting at 5:55, like, come on.
When is the light going to go on?
I can hear you in there.
Yeah, but, you know, if you work nights, then 6 in the morning, that's your afternoon.
Those nurses, that. The angels of mercy.
Yes.
I take it back, nurses. You're allowed to get your drink on. That's a thing people say.
Shift workers. Shift workers need a bar.
Shift
that opens
workers.
Early.
When is this thing going to open up? I just put 20 people to sleep on floor 11.
20 people?
I don't know. Yeah, that must have been like.
It's like a serial killer.
Old people.
I know,
floor.
I know. That was like outbreak. Also, that was outbreak.
Yeah, you're supposed to do it over the course of your whole career as a killer nurse. You're not supposed to like blow it all in one shift.
We had a rough night last night. Up on the 11th.
We
Margaret, do you know anything about this?
I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but it was a rough, rough night.
I put 20 people to sleep.
Amber, what do you think about this whole gift giving thing at Christmas time?
You've remained curiously silent about this whole thing.
Gulp? I am not a good gift giver. I feel like I'm in the same category as Eddie.
Wow. I feel better about this.
I'm just.
You shouldn't.
I also wait to the last minute, and I have friends in the audience who could attest. Like,
don't open it right away. It's a beauty,
especially if you're a Giant fan.
You like Eli Manning?
Well, I have this weird thing. I don't know, like, you'd think I grew up in the Depression. I always feel that gifts should be something that they need. And most gifts aren't that way. So I'm like, oh, they don't need a sweater. I've seen them wear a sweater before.
What? So I did need a woman's watch. for my fancy nights.
And no one had seen you wearing one.
To plan out a murder scene. Go ahead.
And what I've done, I'm not rolling in cash. So what I've done for
Welcome
the past...
to the club, my friend.
Right. The past 5 or 6 years, I have a lot of niece and nephews. I have one niece and a lot of nephews, so that's why I said it.
Now, are you expected to buy gifts for these children?
Well, that's what I do, is I only buy gifts for the kids. The adults don't get
gifts.
You
gotta stop doing that.
Why?
They have parents.
Thank you.
No, but it's...
You're welcome. I like the way you think.
Thank you.
It's one of those things, I will say, every year I stress out about getting them gifts, and then when I do, it is so rewarding because their face lights up, and they play with it in front of me.
Because they're disgusting, materialistic pigs. Children only value things.
Yeah, I'm in a similar. You really killed her on that one, Paul. Amber is speechless.
So what should I do, Paul?
You should stop giving them gifts.
I should write them letters telling them about the plight
them
of
long,
Africa.
Please, yes, write them long, guilt-trippy letters, and try to do like a spidery, old-fashioned old lady handwriting. So it's like instant, like, my dumb aunt gave me this letter.
P.S. Thank your parents for the awesome gifts that I got.
Now, their parents buy them a ton of gifts,
and
right?
And they give me stuff, so it feels, no.
This is your brothers and sisters?
Yes.
I don't agree. I think you're doing the right thing, Amber. I think that you have a responsibility as an aunt.
And
you
know? Every year,
no,
I'm like, next
what?
Year, I'm going to buy
See,
everyone presents.
I agree with Paul, though.
This is not the old country. You don't have any responsibilities. We're not all living in one hut together.
Let me tell you something.
Whoa.
The old country was not so bad. There were some nice traditions that have gotten lost.
Oh, Pop, I'm sick of hearing about the old
world,
country.
Okay?
How great it is.
We came over here.
This is
we
America.
We built some churches. We carved our own stone.
This is different. You
we
can do whatever you
up.
Want here.
We knew how to do things.
Oh, I don't want to live in this
Nobody
house anymore.
Nobody knows how to do anything anymore.
Pop, we're going dancing. Let us go. We're going dancing.
You goddamn kids.
Listen to what you've done to him. He sounds older than you.
We're going dancing. Listen, Pop.
That kid's voice broke when he was 5.
I'm going to get my walker and we're going to the club.
He's been smoking 6-packs a day for 9 years.
So you're against gifts pretty much across the board except for a significant other.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so.
I like that philosophy, but
I don't think
that everyone buys into it, and then
well,
I'm
they
the
don't.
Jerk.
They don't. But you're not the jerk. They're jerks. And I think it's like, I don't think it's that you should
but
never give
But is it better
gifts
for you to look like a jerk to a bunch of people, or for a bunch of people to look like jerks to you?
And at the end, the doctor was a woman.
And it's the
ice cube.
I think it's not so. I'm not against giving gifts. I'm against the pressure, the assumed responsibility of gift giving for like tons and tons of people. I think it's absurdly materialistic. When you're an adult, like you can buy your own presents for yourself all year long.
Everyone called up and asked, "What should we get my boss?" And I was like,
Fucking nothing.
Exactly.
A boss.
A bullet to the head. Pop, can we go dancing?
Come on, I got 11 people to kill on floor 11 tonight.
By the way, I think they've outgrown the red bike. Come on, Paul, let's go dancing.
All right, well, Jamie.
Hey, everybody. I can put this down now, so...
Oh, it's time for Jamie's Corner.
It doesn't look like I'm just
Are
doing
we
that.
Live streaming? No.
No, this is not
taking,
live streaming. I'm just trying to look like
for
I'm
his
doing
personal
something.
Archives.
How is that?
How is it being a Jew?
How was it?
Lots of history.
It seems like there's a lot less pressure.
As a Jew?
No, but there's eight.
Unless
you were at the beginning of the century.
About the gifts.
Except for the Holocaust.
There's the same amount of pressure about the Holocaust. That has not changed. Never forget. And never again.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Those are still the terms about the Holocaust. Right.
So no, what's it like?
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Hanukkah seems very mellow. It seems very mellow.
It's totally mellow, man.
Right?
8 days. I don't know. I haven't celebrated Hanukkah in probably 15 years. Well, that's not true. On my cruise a couple weeks ago, we had some Hanukkah gelt.
Gelt.
Out on the table.
Checking with us.
Hanukkah gelt is chocolate wrapped in a gold tin foil.
Yeah, I used to love it. I love gelt.
It is the finest chocolate you can imagine.
I know there's better chocolate, but there's something about that shiny gold wrapper that's terrific.
Because it's like you're pretending you're eating money. It's fun.
Is that it?
That's exactly
talk you about. You feel powerful.
Talk about a sick way to look at the world.
Yeah. No, well, they make it look like coins.
I know.
Margaret, bake me some 20s. I'm starving.
But back to me being Jewish.
Sure.
It's been quite a road.
quite a road?
Wait, is this your one-man show?
I was hoping this would be my opportunity. The only Hanukkah memory I could think of in the context of gifts is my grandma. Very generous woman, as my mom will tell you. But growing up, especially...
Your mom will wrap it to us, right?
As my mom will wrap to you. But I remember a couple years in particular, you know, when you're 11, 12, the holidays are an important time for getting gifts. And one year I got...
You sound rabbinical right now.
Thank you. But my gift from my grandma when I was 11 years old was the biography of Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, man.
Not kidding.
That was sitting around her place.
It was signed by the author. Do you remember this? And how do you react to that at 11 author? Years old? I still don't know how to react to that.
Very graciously. Thank you for your generous gift. I appreciate it.
But he isn't a kid's president. Johnson's not a kid's president. He's a very stuffy dude.
Not like
He's
President no Johnny Appleseed. What, did you have to write a thank you note?
No.
You weren't pressured to do that?
No pressure for a thank you note.
Did you read the book?
No.
Do you still have it?
Yikes.
I don't know if we still have it. I definitely have the book I got the next year, which was called Tree Boy.
What was that about?
I don't know.
Different president.
A boy that lives in a
different
tree.
President.
That was about Washington. He chopped down the cherry tree.
That's right.
When Johnson enacted the civil rights, you weren't like all a gawk because
in
you had
60s?
Read the book?
How many times have you ever been all a gawk?
Six.
I don't even know if that's a thing.
It's not. It's a gog.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time for a part of the show that we like to call... Parting shots.
Oh, we're up to parting shots already.
We're up to parting.
Can I just say I loved Vicky's rap?
Yes.
It was wonderful.
Yes,
Vicky.
Indeed.
And I would love to read some of your poetry. I love poetry. This is my parting shot.
You're very cultured. You're a very cultured person.
I was raised in Staten Island, and when we weren't waxing cars or hitting people with baseball bats, we were reading Dostoevsky. My friends were poets. In Staten Island, they were into the Beats. They went to Ginsberg. They went to Kerouac. They were into
the other Beats.
What?
The other Beats.
The other Beats. Whatever. But anyway, they started a series called the Harbor Series on the coast, the Harbor, New York Harbor, where Staten Island was, and
still is.
And they did a poetry series where I would do comedy. I was the comedian. And one great thing about poets is that. They don't have the greatest sense of humor, so everything I did was so fucking funny.
I feel like the way you said that makes it sound like your comedy was not good.
Yes.
It didn't have to be. No, it was good.
They don't have great senses of humor,
so they laughed
uproariously at everything I said.
But anyway, Vicky brought me back. I just want to say
just
that...
Just blow by that. Just blow
Vicky,
by that.
Vicky brought me back. This is my parting shot. Vicky brought me back... to my poetic roots. And a lot of times, and I think this is a nice holiday message for everybody.
Yes, yes. Oh, I hope so.
A lot of times, you know, I'll be with Karen in bed And
okay, that's not a nice holiday message so far.
And
it's actually terrifying.
You know, right before I put on my sleep apnea mask, I will...
It just got worse.
I will grab
sort of
a
Silence of the Lambs.
Mary Oliver. Has anybody know Mary Oliver's poetry? Beautiful nature poet, right?
Beautiful, beautiful nature.
And
nature.
I'll read Karen a few poems, and then I'll read Paul. Why? What is going on? What did he say?
Can you not fucking hear him?
He's like, I have tinnitus, which strikes one out of five comedians.
He's fake muttering statistic. After everything that you say.
I know. That's why I can't hear it, because I'm so into what I'm saying.
Oh, sure.
Is
well, who wouldn't be except Sean?
I'll read her Mary Oliver or Rilke late at night. And I just love
Rilke.
I love great poetry because it takes me out of the cynicism that is comedy.
How long does that last?
About once the mask is on, I'm back to feeling like shit because I hear my breath.
Now this mask, can you see through the mask? How much
it's
of
hard.
Your face
like when
does
I'm watching Antiques Roadshow through this sleep apnea mask, it's very fucked up. Like I'll see like four different antiques.
Do you think the mask? Do you think the mask would be a good disguise for the holiday party heist?
Yes. Yes.
I couldn't see who he was. He was wearing a sleep apnea mask.
And you'd be able to breathe, so it's a nice.
If you fell asleep,
that's
true.
So that's my parting shot. My parting shot is that I love Vicky's piece, and it got me back to my poetic roots.
Great,
fantastic.
Thank you, Paul.
Oh, thought we were going to go down the line, but
not so fast.
Wrong again.
He likes to keep us on our toes.
Well, before I get to my parting shot, which is a doozy,
that's how I would.
That
give
means
a gift.
He doesn't have it yet.
I enjoyed what
stalling.
I did enjoy Vicky's rap, and I liked how at the end it had a moral, and I think more rap songs should have morals at the end.
That's what's been lost in the rap community.
Yes, a little touch of Aesop, I think, would be nice at the end. my parting shot is, I suppose, thank you for having me on this live show. It's been a lot of fun, and I am a listener of the show, so I'm thrilled to be here with you guys.
Thank you, Paul.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes.
Paul.
Sorry we fucked up the thing about you being the first returning guest and making you stand backstage like a kid in a corner, but...
I was only doing some fake anger that I thought would be hilarious, but there wasn't.
Jamie.
I only have three things.
thank get to them. God, only three.
The first, a thank you to Paul and to all of our listeners around the world. For being part of what we do and contributing in ways you don't even know.
Please donate. It's the holidays.
second, in
Hold
January...
Hold on a second. Jamie, what, if I may.
Yes, you may.
Please donate to our podcast because it's the holidays. You were probably thinking of making some sort of charitable donation this year to people who don't have arms or faces. But before you do, please remember us on the holidays. The podcast.
Please give.
Jamie, pray continue.
Okay. Secondly, Paul, if you could actually hand me the envelopes right behind you.
Oh, this is like the
sure.
Oscars.
These white envelopes?
And while you hand them to me, I'll just a quick plug for January. 30 Days Immaculata, guys. This one's called the Super Ultimate 2011 Turbocharged 30-Day Jumpstart for Better Health, Creativity, Productivity, Happiness, Power, and Enchantment. Get in. It's going to be good. We're going to kickstart your year. You're going to make some big, exciting things happen.
Can you say that again, please?
The Super Ultimate 2011 Turbocharged 30-Day Jumpstart for Better Health, Creativity, Productivity, Happiness, Power, and Enchantment.
Thank you.
It really... I got to commend you. This thing is sounding scammier and scammier.
It is.
Like this, if I just saw this...
It's turning into a traveling medicine show.
Yes, if I saw that on a flyer, I'd be like, oh, this is a ripoff. But you're
free.
Really doing
it's
it.
Free.
I'm proud of you. It's free. That's great. It's great. But I would say, where's the catch?
There is no catch.
Not yet.
Not yet. When I started asking for money.
That's right. But you're almost there. You're like really building an empire.
Can you donate to the Immaculata?
Not yet. But I mean, I won't turn them down. If you want to give me cash, I could sure use it right now.
At the holidays this year, think of the Immaculata.
So I kind of don't want to give you these anymore because I can keep them for myself, given your take on
gifts. No.
But I got you all some gifts.
Did you really?
Jaime.
I feel bad. I didn't.
Eddie and Amber?
I only get for my significant.
And so, it's Merry Christmas, Eddie. Happy Hanukkah.
Aww. Now, should we open these
Jamie?
I think you should.
Really? All right.
I just want to say that mine says on the front, to Sean, awesome shooting star, XO Jamie. So, I feel gratified and uncomfortable that you hugged and kissed me at the end of that.
Mine says to Paul, and then it's got a picture of a Native American headdress, and it says headdress. It also says go for it.
And I mean every word of that.
Mine says to Amber, and then there's a happy face with an old-timey dinner hat, and it says happy face with old-timey dinner hat. Then it says, oh yeah, XO Jamie.
Mine says to Eddie with the heart around Eddie, and it says Hardy next to that. And then over to the right, it says unbelievable exclamation point. And I got a $5 gift certificate to the, what is this?
Scoops.
The
delicious the
gelato
ice cream.
Place.
I will have you know.
But what is it?
I got it's this before
cream.
We booked
it's
this.
It's like a block away. It's
I, got,
I did not get those tonight.
I got a $100 gift certificate from American Express.
Damn
thank
it.
You, Jamie. Yes. Thank you.
So that's good anywhere. That money is good anywhere.
Yeah, have fun.
Thank you, Jamie. That was
thank
very nice.
You.
Thank you very much.
It's
Jamie.
Delicious.
Happy I've Hanukkah to you.
Love y'all.
Are they still open right now?
Amber.
Yes. So I said I was bad at giving gifts, but I'm desperately trying to get better, so I got each of you a gift.
No way.
Amber.
Sorry, Paul.
I hope it's not a tie.
Open his first.
I hope it's not a tie, because clearly I'm already wearing one.
Paul, go ahead.
All right, I will.
This is so nice.
These are all very nicely wrapped with ribbons.
They really are.
I'm pretending I'm a girl, like a real life girl.
Did you wrap these yourself?
I did.
By the way, the way I wrap gifts is just an abomination.
Oh, my God, I can imagine.
You can imagine the way I wrap gifts.
I'm trying to carefully unwrap it. Why not?
She'd be on the street with a sign, save the paper.
Don't follow.
I think I got it.
Whoa.
A magic
set. A magic book and kit.
We were talking about magic.
That was the last time I was here.
Yeah.
Look, you guys, it's pretty cool. On the back, to entice you to start your magic journey immediately, the box begins, abracadabra. Story of magic is older than recorded history. It just keeps going on and on. Magician performing nearly 4,000 years ago at an Egyptian pharaoh's court.
Oh, I wish we had had so this
oh, I'm
14
sorry.
Episodes ago.
Then it ends with, Alakazam!
Should I open my...
And I figured that's a good re-gifting gift if you don't want it.
You really no, planned ahead, Amber.
No, I'll give this to my mother-in-law.
And then, yes,
thank
Eddie...
Thank you, Paul. I can finally do dice tricks.
Eddie's opening his present and...
Oh, man, I got a lot of things.
Start with the first.
I got, oh, because I have five cats. I have just cats. Oh, this is great. This is a, is it, do you put, what do you call it, catnip in there? This is great. Oh, the cats are going to love it. Aqua Busy Ball. What is that?
You put water in it, and it, the cats play with it. I don't
yes,
know.
Oh, it's Aqua Busy Ball.
Odor, a pet odor absorber. Great, great. Oh, and another little mouse toy. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're very
That's
welcome.
Wonderful.
Now, Jamie, you open yours.
Okay.
Sean has the last present.
I feel like Eddie's a little mad because the presents were for the cat. Right?
I was actually expecting bit. Him to say that.
I could hear in his voice. That it was like he was trying to, you were putting a brave face on it.
What
but
did
there
you
was
want,
something
Eddie?
That's like,
what
oh, another
want?
Cat toy.
I do get very, when I open gifts, I get very expectant. Very expectant.
The autobiography of Jimmy Carter.
No.
Thanks. The autobiography.
Yeah.
What is it?
Chicken soup for the soul. Think Aww. Positive.
You've just been immaculatized.
I already
or
got it.
Or flabbergasteroonied, whatever
already
you want
got
to say.
It. Just kidding. But this All is right. great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Oh, now Sean got a huge thing. I would have liked to have gotten that kind
of
thing.
It's a little bit for all of us.
Okay.
You'll see what I'm talking about.
I hope it's a cake.
What if it's a scratching
It's a cake. It's a toothbrush.
I got
Put your mic aside.
A floor lamp.
Oh, yes.
You want to explain that, Amber or Eddie?
He doesn't have any light in his living room, so our poor guests have to sit in a dark room the whole time.
And then they hold on to that resentment and bring it back in the last episode of the season.
It's sort of your living room.
Made me sit in a dark room. Yes, it's comfortable furniture, but...
Yeah, very comfortable furniture, but it's like being in Edgar Allan Poe's last days, so this is great.
What a burn.
Chatham... Chatham floor lamp.
Ooh, a Chatham. Yeah.
With an antique bronze finish.
Oh.
I don't want to brag. I don't want to brag.
Well,
somebody
you,
got a bonus at
that
work.
That was very kind of you.
You're very welcome.
Oh, and real quick.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Jorge, yes. Are you back there? You want to come out real quick?
Jorge, come on out here.
This is our sound guy, engineer.
Our sound engineer.
Jorge!
Jorge! Hip, hip, Jorge!
There you go, buddy. Merry Christmas.
and
that's awkward.
And
he
so
disappears back into his sound hole.
That's right.
His sound cave.
So understated.
All right. Well, my parting
shot. How did I do? That was me trying to get better at giving gifts.
Very
how
good.
You did wonderfully, I think.
Nailed it.
Yes.
I can give this floor lamp to my nieces and nephews. All right. Well, here's my parting shot. It is the end of our season. Season 2 is over. Thank you to all the guests we've had this year, especially tonight's guest, Paul and Vicky, who both did a wonderful job. And thank you guys for coming out.
Thank you guys. And thank you, Paul Kozlowski, for renting out the theater.
Yes, the fake gallery.
Thank you, Paul.
The fake gallery, by the way, all the artwork is 20% off right now. So if you're looking for a Christmas
so
present,
cool.
For
come
an art
down
lover,
to the fake gallery
the
and
fake
buy
gallery
some art.
And buy some art. Thank you. I was going to get there. But thank you. And
we would make a great brothers team. Like if we owned a business, you would be in the middle of saying something. I'd be like, do what he says.
God damn it. Let me finish.
Let's go dancing.
Where's dad? Oh, no. That's the end of season 2. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. And maybe we'll even have a season 3. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to that. Can you believe how long ago that was?
6 years.
Man. Still got it.
I didn't want to be specific, but yes, it was 6 years ago. Thank you for listening to that.
I don't want to be too specific.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Santa's coming. We got to go to bed.